Hello and welcome to our INE Office Hours call for the month of December 2015. This year is going by so fast and I keep wanting to say 2016. It's kind of strange that I'm ahead of myself here. So I'm excited to be here because I love these calls, the opportunity for all of us to just ask our questions and get connected, ask about cases, ask about clients, ask about content in the materials. Right down now, the live active programs that we have going on are NEPT and the Clinical Mastery of Digestive System. So those two programs are going on right now. So some of you are in both. Obviously, if you're in NEPT, you're in both. And if you're just in CMDS, then you'll have questions related to the digestive tract. So we can ask any questions we want. The way that we ask a question is if you're on the phone, you do a *2. If you're listening in on the web link I gave you in the email, then you can, there's a little question box that's off to the side, and you can just type your question in there, and I'll read it and answer it. If you're on the Join Me, that's where we do our chatting. So, and that's where if you have a case that you want to do, I'll share my screen. So we're not going to do any listening on the Join Me. We always do our listening on Instant Teleseminar because it's an easy web link. So let's go ahead and just get started. We're getting towards the home stretch here. We've got the year ending in just a few weeks. Kind of hard to believe. We're at December 3rd already. So we've got like less than 4 weeks left to the year, or just about 4 weeks left to the year. So any questions, comments? If you've submitted cases, just raise your hand and tell me that you've submitted a case and I'll pull up the case. And if you haven't and you just have questions, go ahead and ask your question. So it looks like Laura and Isabel have their hands up. So I'll start with Laura. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie.
Hi.
Hi, I submitted a case. I have a client who recently had a 23andMe done.
Cool.
And she wanted to set up a consultation for some education about that. And I was a little bit nervous because I haven't done that before.
That's cool. And it's a big thing. It's something to kind of be nervous about. I understand.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
So I uploaded her stuff to the Genetic Genie.
Yep.
And that's what I updated to the
great. I'm going to share with you a new link that I think it was Jamie. Yeah, Jamie shared last week, and I ran that filter. It's more expensive. It's $37, but I really liked that report. So I'll find that link and I'll share it with you guys later. But let me go through. Genetic Genie is free, or they ask for like a $5 donation. So let me get this up. And we'll see. And how old is your person?
She is in her early 40s, I believe.
Okay. And what are the particular things that she's having issues with? And because that helps in like really narrowing down sometimes, because there's huge amount of data and you can't go through all of it. So the first thing you want to go through is some of the things that might be contributing to some of the issues that she's having. Did you do it as an uploader or in the case study?
I think I did it as an uploader.
Okay, good. Yeah, case study is when you're going to submit a lot of different stuff, and there's a lot of extra fields where you can do a full case history on. Mm. So INE uploader, here we go. And it says two of them were submitted today. Let's see, entries. 2 hours ago. Oh, yours was 16 hours ago. Right. And it looks like Isabel and Janet both submitted some things today as well. Great. Okay. So you've got both the methylation. So I'm going to share my screen with this. And you know about kind of almost interpretation guides that I have on the site. Have you looked at those? Do you know about those? Because I can pull those up as well. Okay, good. And I'll pull those up for
this, too. I
think I have.
Is that the stuff from the nutrigenomics class that you did?
Yep.
That's what I...
Yep.
Okay.
Great.
That's what I was looking at.
So we'll pull up the methylation. And what I'm going to do, before I share my screen, I'm going to split the screen between your findings, and then I'm going to open up. Let me pull yours out, and I'll take it into a separate window, and then I'll make that smaller. There's a little bit of finesse that happens when I'm trying to share all this stuff on the screen, but it really helps to have an interpretation guide and the report next to each other, because that's basically how you're going to learn, really. Okay, so then we're going to go to the, and I'm going to share my screen now so I could show everybody where I'm finding this. Let me get this.
And this is on Join Me?
Yeah, I'll be sharing it in a moment. Yes, if you go to Join Me, if you're not on Join Me, go to Join Me. And I'm sharing my screen now. See is both your report and my screen on the left, which is the Vibrant Living Members site. And I'm going to go to Nutrigenomics. So you guys have access to this. Well, not all of you have access to this. Some of you don't. Some of you, those of you in NEPT have access to this. It's not a public program. It's a part of our ERC program and part of NEPT. So we're going to go to Interpreting Nutrigenomics. And we're going to go to, here we have these two things, genetics, detox interpretation and methylation interpretation. These are both based on the genetic genie. And when you do the methylation, this is what we have up. You can open this up, and it's got all the different findings that you're going to see in the exact same order as the genetic genie. But I have a little explanation of what these things mean off to the right. So
yes,
over here, what I the way I like to go through these is to go through the red ones first. So what I'd love to, though, because I want this to be a real learning for you, is to have you go through with me and tell me, first off, what you're seeing so far.
Well, what I started noticing, and I just kind of started looking through them slowly, when I was looking at the detox interpretation, is it the CYP1B1 that affects caffeine metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
And she has that.
Can we do, because I have the methylation up right now and it's such a gyration for me to switch. Can we do this one first?
We have sure, and I haven't done that one yet.
Oh, you haven't done that one yet. Okay, then I will switch to the other one. And it's just going to take me a second to open that one. Genetic genie detox. Okay. Let's do that one first.
She said she doesn't have the MTHFR. Okay. So the other one.
Okay. So I'm going to do that one first. So I'll pull that one over. You're seeing my whole screen right now. And I'm going to pull that one over. So we're going to line them up again. And,
and this is helpful because I was trying to go through all of the MTHFR support. And that was a lot. Like
that's a lot. And this is where I start because it's so much easier. And again, I'll see if I can dig out the link that Jamie gave me because I really liked that report. It was much easier to read. So we're going to go back to this page, and I'm going to now open the detox. Okay, good. All right, so let's go through this. I like to start with red. So what does she have that's red? Ooh, SOD.
Okay. SOD.
Yeah, so SOD, superoxide dismutase. Which mineral is that dependent on that we studied recently? Remember?
That I don't remember.
It's a manganese-dependent enzyme, or antioxidant. So superoxide dismutase is an enzyme. It's an antioxidant. It's really super important. It's kind of like up there. It's elevated with the status of glutathione. It's one of the most potent antioxidants we have. And if you read over on the right-hand side, it protects cells from increased oxidative stress and free radical damage. Most antioxidants do. But it protects the cell membranes, mitochondria, DNA, and proteins. So when we're creating energy, we're creating a lot of oxidative byproducts. And SOD is one of the, like, it just like gobbles that stuff up. It's what mops up some of that stuff. So you can see that if somebody's producing a lot of energy, but they don't have enough SOD to gobble that up, they're going to have a lot of free radical damage. And so they may not really feel good when they try to exert themselves because they don't have the mop there mopping up and cleaning up. So it's also responsible for drug metabolism and is a member of the iron manganese superoxide dismutase. So it's dependent on mostly manganese, and it, iron competes with similar receptors. What gene binds superoxide products, mutations of this gene. Does she have any cardiac stuff?
No.
Okay. So here's something you want to look at, right? And we don't, what we don't want to do is start scaring people, right? Oh, you have a high risk of cardiomyopathy and cancer and all that. But you say, hey, this is an important thing because this is a protective piece and it helps to protect you from the damages of the world, you know, of drugs, of energy production. And so we really want to help support you with this one, so that you don't have higher risk of. So you always phrase it in a more positive, because people can walk away from some of this. I've seen people do this stuff. In fact, you know, my husband did this consult with somebody who just went through and did some stuff with him and just like scared the living daylights out of him. Like, oh, I see that you're this and you're that. And he's like, what? You're just like, you don't want to do that to people, right? Because fear is one of our health's worst enemies. So she's got this SOD. And so you go, well, we want to make sure what? We want to make sure she's got enough manganese so that whatever SOD she is producing, she's got enough manganese to support it and actually activate it. Now, just because she has this mutation doesn't mean it's expressing itself. So you talk about the importance of the foundations and the lifestyle things so that these things don't express or that you can turn them off. But another thing is to say, well, let's protect you here, right? If she is older, if she is having some health issues, if she is does have a lot of exposures and she's in process of changing her diet, but maybe not isn't all the way there, then you say, let's talk about ways to protect yourself. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like if somebody comes in and they're on this pristine diet and they're a yogi and they're exercising and they live up in the mountains and they don't have a lot of stress on them, you just say, you know, this is going to say that if you're ever in that situation, we may want to make sure that we're supplementing. But does she have specific symptoms she's dealing with?
She came to see me with a lot of fatigue and just kind of not feeling well. Was thinking that there was some adrenal and thyroid involvement. And when we did the testing, she was headed towards Hashimoto's.
Okay.
Like, I think we caught it early.
Yeah.
Which is good, but so she doesn't, it was going to get there. We've been working on that a lot, and she's very, she's one of those that came to me already eating very, very clean, already off gluten, dairy, sugar.
Good.
Already, you know, mostly plant-based and exercising and doing all these things, but she's very, very type A, has a lot of anxiety.
Yep.
Had some kind of relationship stuff going on with her husband where he didn't really believe her, didn't believe that she was sick, and he was kind of like, you eat the cleanest diet, you know, why you're not sick, or, you know, her family doctor said
right.
She was wrong, so he was kind of like, there's nothing wrong with you, you're making this up type thing.
Yeah, so this is a good case because this is a good thing to do here because it can show some things that she's predisposed to, even eating a clean diet, that you can help her address.
Yeah, and that's what makes me, I guess, a little bit nervous because she already is eating so clean. Like, she came to me, you know, way ahead of the typical clients that I see.
Right.
And she really wanted the genetic interpretation to know, like, what else she could do to kind of support herself nutritionally. But I'm so glad you said what you said because I do think she tends towards fear. I need to be very careful with my wording.
Yep, very careful. So again, you know, kind of you can play back the recording and see how you want to word it with her if anything I said made sense. But with this SOD, I would say there's some really easy things that she can do. There are some diet supplements that are supposed to have some SOD in it and help, but they're all made from wheat sprouts. So, you know, we want to stay away from those.
Oh.
But there's a topical cream. If you go to Amazon, I found it on Amazon, and just type in SOD cream. There's a topical SOD cream that also has some other antioxidants in it. And it's a good route of absorption. It's a simple thing, you know, just rub it in, right? So that'll help protect her. But the other thing you talk about is we want to protect you from the kinds of stresses and free radical damage that, you know, that'll build up. So it would explain to her. Sometimes it's really helpful for people. It explains to them why they're so sensitive. Ah, this is why you might be so sensitive. Maybe ask her questions about like environmental exposures or medications if she's ever found herself to be really sensitive to them. And then you can say, well, there's some things in your genetics that make you prone there, and there's some ways that we can help you to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense? And it's almost freeing for people when they hear that. They go, oh, it's not me. If my husband isn't like, I'm not a hypochondriac, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, good. So I usually start with looking at the red. You'll figure out your own method of doing it. I just like looking at what's their hot spots first. So I would go right there. Then I just go in sequential order through the rest. So she's got a few of these others, and so we look them up. And you mentioned about the caffeine metabolism. So 1A2, she's got one of the 1A2s, or the only 1A2, and 1A2 affects caffeine metabolism and estrogen metabolism. Okay, at higher risk of breast cancer, ovarian cancer, and prostate cancer. So that's not something you want to say, hey, you're at higher risk for this. You be delicate about it, but you talk to them about, you know, have you ever noticed that when you drink caffeine that you get like breast lumps or fibrocystic breasts? Is she prone to things like fibroids? Or, you know, other sorts of fibrotic kind of things, because that's what caffeine can cause in people who can't metabolize it.
Yeah, she had a hysterectomy because of that. Interesting.
So, you know, there's a lot of things here. Now, in going back to the other one, I don't mean to confuse you to jump back and forth, but whenever I see the 1A2, which is caffeine and estrogen metabolism, I always go back to the COMT, which is also involved in estrogen metabolism, but also neurotransmitters. Okay, and then so we'll come back to that in a minute. Let's look at her toxicity first. So, be careful about the caffeine, right? Mm-hmm. She's also got a 1B1, which also affects caffeine and estrogen, right? So she's got two of these. If you were to do her 24-hour urine test or like a Dutch test, you'd be wanting to really look at the 4-hydroxyestrogen, right? And that's one of the byproducts that's very carcinogenic. So the reason that these things predispose to the estrogen metabolism, problems with estrogen metabolism and breast cancer, is because it causes the buildup of the 4-hydroxy. And I want to show you something. I love cases because it helps me to just broaden all the different areas you can look at. Is that okay if I show you another chart? What I really want you to see is how do you empower people when you see this stuff rather than have them feel like, oh, God, what do I do now? So there's a chart that you guys also, I think, have access to. I'm not sure if it's open yet, but we can make sure it is for the NEPT people, obviously. But if we go down to the reproductive health under ERC. I'm not sure if you have access to it or not, but I can put the link to the actual PDF in here so everybody can see it. But I have a presentation in here that it's just a chart, and we'll get it. I think we have it in one of our NEPT lectures. I'm just not sure where. This one stands out to me just because I had shown it to someone yesterday. But it was really helpful in going through her labs to show her the chart and go, hey, well, look at all the things that we can do about this, right? So focus on cruciferous, where was it? I think it was in the slides. Let me look at the slides. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was in here. Here we go. Okay, so this is an estrogen metabolism slide. And again, we'll be going through this in way more excruciating detail till you're just so sick of it and you're going to memorize it, okay? But we want to look at, this is where we don't want her to go, 4-hydroxy, because she has an issue with some of these SNPs that just decrease the conversion from estrone down to the protective 2-hydroxy and push it more towards the 4. But you want to look at, well, what lifestyle things can you do that will help her body to do better things? Well, if she's low in magnesium, she's going to be more susceptible. So making sure that she's got her magnesium levels up. So that would be things like, and I should just hit some kind of, let me just see if I can record this. Give me a second. That way if anybody's watching it afterwards, or if you guys want to watch it again, you can see. I'm just going to just record my whole screen. Okay, record. There we go.
So like having her do like a magnesium tolerance test.
Get her to bowel tolerance, right? Get her to do Epsom salts baths. Get her to do some topical magnesium. Ask her if she has some magnesium. Does she have some muscle cramps? Any kind of spasmy kind of problems, right? There's a whole list, and you have that if you go back to the magnesium presentation, right? You can go and review the magnesium deficiency symptoms, but also in NEPT, there's, and that was at our retreat. So if you go back to the retreat, stuff. There's a PDF that shows for all the different nutrients. It's like a cheat sheet. I tell people just print this cheat sheet out and keep it on your desk because you can go through and see what the different symptoms you might be looking for magnesium deficiency. So this is what you want to make sure she's sufficient.
Where did you say that nutrition cheat sheet is at?
I think it's, you know what? I think it actually is in the micronutrient thing as well. I think it might be on, let's see, micronutrients. For those of you who are not in NEPT, you'll get a little splurge of some of this stuff. Okay.
I've been going through the micronutrient lectures, but maybe I missed it, or maybe I haven't gotten to it.
You know, it might not be in the lecture part. It might be in on one of the pages, like the extra stuff, like teaching tools and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it might be on the advanced topic, done for you resources, possibly.
Okay.
Let's see. Yeah, let's see where that is. Yeah, nutrient assessment chart right there on the done for you resources. So you can look this up, any kind of, so you go, oh, well, magnesium, let's see, does she have any of these signs? So you look at her history, you ask her questions, what else is in magnesium, right? Does she have some anxieties, breast cysts? We asked about that already. Confusion, constipation, all these kinds of things. So this is a great chart to just, I highly recommend that you keep a kind of a notebook on your desk and you print out these various charts. And I print out this, I'd print out the nutrigenomics interpretation. And as you go through each of your modules, think about, well, which of these charts would I want to keep handy so I could do a quick reference for a specific client? Make sense? You're not going to remember all of this. You're not going to keep track of all the different symptoms until you've been doing it for 25 years. And even then, you still want to look things up. Make sense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me go back to that other chart we were just on, because this is a cool one. Where is it? There it is, right? So you want to look at, okay, does she have low magnesium? But also you want to make sure she's doing things to push her estrone down towards the protective. Right, so avoiding exposures to pesticide, eating organic food, avoiding alcohol, and high fat diet. She likes her red wine. Okay, yeah. Okay. Now we'll look to see if she has any of the SNPs, because there's certain SNPs related to alcohol metabolism, and they're not necessarily on here, but they might be on the MTHFR support one. The ALD, I think, is one of them. The acetaldehyde. Okay, so then you look at, well, DIM, does she eat enough cruciferous vegetables, right? I'm not a big fan of putting them on DIM and I3C unless there's a specific reason, or if they hate cruciferous vegetables and they refuse to eat them, or they don't tolerate cruciferous vegetables because of a gut dysbiosis problem, right? So, but DIM and indole-3-carbinol are metabolic products as a result of cruciferous. So I'll look at this and go, you know what? Broccoli sprout powder. It's really easy. It's very bland tasting. You can throw it in smoothies, gravies, sauces, etc., and then really boost up her indole-3-carbinol and her DIM, dimethylindolemethane. And that's going to help push that pathway, right? You know, soy is one of the allergens, so you're careful about that. But what about her omega-3-6 ratio, right? Does she do a lot of almond butter? Does she do a lot of vegetable oil, right? How can you maximize her omega-6-to-3 ratio? And we give you in the macronutrients module, there's an Excel spreadsheet where you could just say, okay, tell me everything you ate for a day. And then you could pop in all the fatty foods and you could see what her omega-3-to-6 ratio is on a typical day. And then you can help her to switch out, right? Maybe if she's eating pecans, you switch to walnuts because they have more of an omega-3. If she's eating too many almonds, you help her to, you know, move towards walnuts or flax seeds, chia seeds, hemp seeds. So what's interesting about this, and I love this, why I love doing the cases, is because we started out looking at her genetics, but now we've looked at her reproductive system because it's tied into some of her genetics. And now we're looking at, you know, some of her dietary things because it's so important. And these are the tools that you're getting that most people don't look at. They just kind of look at like, okay, what's the protocol for this? What's the protocol for that? But we're like dissecting it. And with all that understanding that we have of pathways, right, I can go right to it. Oh, we have to do this and that and the other thing. And you're going, oh, how did you get there? But you will get there because you have all these tools. So this is another chart that I would highly recommend you print out because it's a really nice one, especially if you start to deal with women, if, you know, as they go through menopause. Make sense?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
It's very handy.
And then the other thing, you know, you can look at is iodine, and you want to make sure her iodine's okay, you know, so she pulls that down towards estriol.
She's the one, you know, when we had the iodine lecture, that she's super fearful.
Super fearful of the iodine.
With iodine because she does a lot of research on her own, and she reads a lot of books and information, and she's read so much about, you know, like you were saying, Hashimoto's and the fear and iodine, and she's very, very fearful. Even though I tried to kind of talk to her about that, explain that, and, you know, kind of talk to her about iodine deficiency because I think she has some of the symptoms, she's really, really afraid of that.
So maybe showing her a chart like this. What I do when I was sitting face to face with people, I'd have my little, like a binder full of different charts. And depending on what was going on and I'm trying to explain something, I would just show them a chart and see why iodine's so important. Why don't we test you to see if you need it? Because it's really going to be important. It's going to be protective. You've already had reproductive system issues and had a hysterectomy. So there's some issues going on there. Don't you want to maximize and optimize these things? And you can also suggest a Dutch test if she's not open to it, so she can actually see where those numbers are. And if her estriol's fine, and you see this number down here, whenever you're doing any of these tests, you want to do E3 divided by E1 plus E2. And if it's less than 1, then it's most likely they're not converting down to estriol and they need more iodine. And, you know, of course, some of these other things, avoiding pesticides, et cetera. Make sense?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So we'll go back to, where was that? I think I need to pull it out separately. There we go. Okay, so she's got the caffeine metabolism. So we talk about that. Now we got off to the estrogen because that's so important. She's got a 1B1. So she's got two 1B1s and a 1A2. So the caffeine metabolism is really important. Does she drink anything with caffeine in it? Does she consume caffeine?
Only occasional chocolate, like dark chocolate, but she does not drink coffee or caffeinated beverages or anything like that.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, occasional chocolate's probably not going to be a problem with this. The 2D6, right? Unless she has fibrocystic breasts, and then you want to avoid it and see if it makes a difference. So then we go down to where she has the 2D6, and she's got two 2D6 SNPs. So when they got either a homozygous, which is red, or they've got two heterozygouses, you start to be a little bit more concerned to make sure that you're. So with this is drug metabolism, 25% of all prescription drugs. So knowing this is really good because if ever there is a time when she needs to have a medication, she can look at this list in the Synapedia list and then say to the doctor, look, I have genetics that predisposes me to not to be real good at metabolizing these. Are there alternatives, right, if she's in a situation about drugs? But you also find that some people say, oh, I'm so sensitive, I can't take any medications. Every time I do, I have all these weird symptoms. A lot of times these folks have some of these 2D6s and NATs and other things. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then what else? We talked SOD, NAT2. That has other drugs involved with it, NAT2, and acetyltransferase. That's a phase 2 liver. Most of these are phase 1, but the acetyltransferases are phase 2, like methylation is a phase 2. So this is also more drugs. So this person is somebody who's going to find themselves that they don't do well if the doctor puts them on medications. So they want to stay well because they don't want to have these problems.
Yeah.
Okay. It's also an issue with secondhand smoke. And get again, more ammunition to get her to eat more of her green leafies. See that?
Mm-hmm.
So as you're going through these charts, you can just pick some of the pieces out, and I would just make a separate list and say, oh, these might be issues, these might be issues, these may be ways she can be protecting herself.
And I noticed, like, she had the MTR and BDR, like vitamin B12 absorption and vitamin D absorption.
Right, let's look at this.
If they have variants for those, does that mean that we want them to stay kind of on the higher range of the optimal functional lab ranges for
this? I usually look at that. Yeah, and there's some others that you can see in the MTHFR, like FUT2 that has to do with vitamin D. If you go to the notes that I gave you from Shine, there was a section, and I have some more of the vitamin D. I've got like 5 different vitamin D SNPs, so that you see this one, you go, I wonder if she has other vitamin D SNPs. And then you can go into her MTHFR support and look for those. And then you can really have good backup for supporting her in keeping her vitamin D levels really optimal, especially if she's borderline Hashimoto's. It's so important for that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Does she tend to be a little anxious and kind of, you know, very meticulous about things? Yeah.
Yes. She's one that's really hard for me. Like, it's so hard for me to keep her on time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, stay with the 1 hour
appointment. She has lots of questions, right? She wants to understand everything.
Yes.
Yep.
And, we usually go over, and I'm trying to set boundaries.
Yep. Because she wants to know everything. She wants to be in control. You know, and how do I know this? I don't know this person, right? I've done enough of these and I've done them with my own. And I'm like, oh, there's patterns. When we see this MAO, I see that a lot. See that a lot with those folks. And like, oh, yeah, I'm surprised. I know I can predict who's going to be an MAO. And she's red. Okay.
Yeah.
And combination of the MAO with the COM-T predisposes them to OCD. So if you look at, where is it? MAO. Here we go. MAO with COM-T increases the likelihood of obsessive compulsive mood swings, aggressive and or violent behavior, personality disorders. So sometimes supplementing with 5-HTP and other serotonin type support can be helpful. Sometimes these folks have a hard time sleeping because they are low in serotonin, and the serotonin, you need enough serotonin to go to melatonin.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. Yeah, so vitamin D is important. Really supporting her. Does she have trouble with sleep?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she tends to be, I'm really working with her on kind of a bedtime routine and establishing those things. She likes to stay up really, really late and then get up really, really early.
Yep. 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 And some of these I'll just go through with you rather than taking the time to go through all the details. You can go through the details. But when you're getting one of these back, use this chart. These charts are super helpful to help you to understand them. And the more you do it, the more you're going to understand. But this COM-T has to do with dopamine and serotonin levels and also with estrogen metabolism. So she's got a double heterozygous. You've got to be careful with overmethylation. So she does have an MTHFR, and she has MTRR. So MTHFR is related to folate metabolism. MTRR and MTR are related to B12 metabolism. So you look at these and have the tendency, she's got 2 of them, you'd have the tendency to want to supplement her with like methylated B12 and folate. And it's fine to do. You want to go slowly with it, because if you go too fast, you get a backup of the methyl groups as they come into this pathway here, the COM-T. So I just start with little tiny doses. My favorite way in folks with the COM-Ts and the MTHFR and MTRRs is to help them go slowly by using Seeking Health has what's it called, liposomal B12 and liposomal folate. And you can do tiny doses. You can start them with one drop, then two drop, then three drop, and just back off if you get to a point where they have anxiety. I had somebody jump in where she had this, and she was first learning this. We all were first learning it, and she just jumped in and started taking, like, you know, 1,000 micrograms of B12 and folate. And she just got, like, all jittery and anxious, and that's a sign that they're over-methylating or that they're taking too much methyl and they're methyl blocking. Okay, so the main things here would be the vitamin D, the tendency towards anxiety and OCD, the estrogen metabolism, and serotonin would be a good thing to support here. And then vitamin B12 and folate, methylated if you can, and if not, then what you can do if you can use a hydroxy B12. In this case, because she's a yellow rather than a red, and I'm just going to use the color terms instead of heterozygous and homozygous because it's easier to say, but in this particular case, you're probably okay if you start with small amounts and just work it up. But if she has any B12 type deficiency symptoms and you feel like, you know, like tingling extremities or anemia, macrocytic anemia, and you want to move more quickly with it, then I would recommend that you do a hydroxy B12 in a higher dose, like a milligram or two, and then microgram tiny doses of the methyl to build her up.
Okay.
This last one down here is two things. The BHMT is the shortcut through the middle of the pathway. And I don't know if you remember the pathway, but I think I can pull it up real quick because it's right at the bottom of this page. I think it was. Oh, it's probably on the first page. It's a reproductive one. How hormones work. Let's see. Where is it? Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I don't want to take too much time with it, but if you look at the methylation pathways, there's the out around the edge. So you go from homocysteine all the way around to SAMe, and then there's a shortcut through the middle. So she's got a little bit of blockage around the long way around, and she's got a yellow around through the middle. Nothing significant, but she just, if she's under a lot of stress and has to do a lot of, you know, heavy metal detox and other things that methylation works on, you may want to be supporting her through that process with extra methylation, but you have to be careful. And sometimes SAMe helps a lot in people like that. CBS, go ahead.
If she's super stressed out, then maybe doing more B vitamins, but cautiously, was that what you were, or B12?
Well, I would go cautiously with that. And if she is real stressed out and anxious, you may want to look at some SAMe and bypass some of this. So you go directly to the SAMe. SAMe is expensive. You know, I prefer to have people create it themselves. Let me see if I can get into that. Real quick, and I'll show you the pathway because it does help to see the pathway. It's after you've been doing it for a while, you just get it in your brain, and I could see it in my mind, and you'll get there.
Yeah, that's impressive.
I think in biochemical pathways, it's kind of weird, and I see them in front of me. Okay, where is it?
It's kind of awesome. I wish I could download that.
It'll just take you a few years to get it. It's repeat,
it's a little
repeat,
practice.
Repeat, repeat. Yeah, it's just repeat. Okay, where is it? Oh, where is it? There was a really good chart at the bottom of one of these pages. Maybe it's this one. And I put in, maybe it's part four.
I found mine at home that I'm looking at, and I see what you're talking about.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay, good. See, it's on page four.
Yeah, you started talking. I was like, I got to get my picture.
Get your picture. So, yeah, I just wanted to show it to other people and make sure it's on the little video. Gosh, I used to have it right on one of these pages. Now it must be buried in a file or something. Anyway, I can't find
it. The one from Dr. Benjamin
Hatch. Yeah. Let's see what else is here. No. Anyway. It shows the methylation pathway, and SAMe is around. Like, that's what the goal is of that methylation pathway, is to create SAMe, which is the ultimate methyl donor. So, any questions?
That helps me a lot. Thank you.
Good. You'll be brilliant when you talk to her. She'll think you're a genius.
I gotta do more studying before this next appointment.
And the more you do it, every time I do these, I study it. I study it every time. So, but stick to the simple stuff. Don't try to get into the advanced stuff. If you have the MTHFR support one, the things I would have you look up would be HLA, which would be related to gluten intolerance, the DQs and things like that. And then the other one I would have you look at would be BCM01, and that's vitamin A. And that has to do with, does she convert beta carotene to vitamin A? And that could be a very helpful one to look at. There's a bunch of others, but those are good enough for now.
Okay.
Thank you. You're welcome. I see Isabel and then Phyllis and Maria and, yeah, Maria. So I'm going to open up Isabel, and I know Isabel did submit something, so I'll open yours up. And I just wanted to take a quick look at our chat to see if there's anything in the chat that I need to address. And then, Lynn says Anne Marie Gianni has a cream that has SOD in it. And you look at the doses and just make sure that you get one that has a decent amount when somebody has a homozygous like that. Who is viewer 7 who said, I didn't know there was any way to interpret my 23andMe? I haven't even opened them. Whoever that is, go ahead and type in your name so I know who you are. This is a really helpful chart to get you started. Maria, you don't have access. You may not have access to that yet. Because Stacy was still opening up access to all the different pieces. But Lynn, if you make a note of that, we can see if she can give access to the new folks. I don't know who viewer 7 is because you keep talking about it. Okay. Okay, I'm just looking to see. Sorry, I'm just taking. Allison said, looking at my 23andMe, I don't have the breast cancer gene despite my sister. That's great. The info on drug sensitivity is so useful in your general practice. It is so helpful, right? Because then you know what to prescribe. Okay. So I am going to see, hello, Isabel. I'm going to get up your.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, good. It's so nice to talk to you.
It's awesome. Let me make sure that I have, because you did submit one, right? Let me get.
I did. I submitted through the uploader.
Yep. And I saw it. I did see it. So I just have to find the tab. You see, I have a bazillion tabs open here.
Yeah, I know. I was looking at
it.
There you
go. Okay, there it is. All right. So there's Laura's. So I'm going to go back to the entries. And yours was right after hers, Isabel. And yeah, there we go. And this is... organic acids, ooh, fun. Lack of energy and ability to lose weight on elimination diet. Occasional headaches. Precocious puberty at the age of 8. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Diagnosed with enlarged pituitary. Yeah, so this is my daughter, actually.
Oh, wow.
So we did an elimination diet a year and a half ago, and she wanted something, so she agreed to eat healthy for 8 weeks, and she didn't lose much, like 1 or 2 pounds. I was pretty
puzzled.
But her skin got better. And recently, observing her, I feel like she's lack of energy. I mean, she's a senior this year. Last year, she had a full workload, but there are times where she spent a whole day on the couch. And I just feel like to me, she should have a little bit more energy than she does, and she sleeps a lot. I took her to see to have her blood tested, and so that's her lab work right there, and also the organic testing with her.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a way to, when you have, when you're submitting for a case and you've got a LabCorp, is to put it on the Master Health Tracker, because then we can see right away, and it's really going to be much more educational for you in going through that, and much easier for me, because now I have to go back through and say, oh, what's a normal rate? You know, what's my ideal? And I don't have them all memorized.
I wasn't sure that which way, because some of the markers in here are not in the trackers. I wasn't sure which.
Okay, so yeah, then you can submit both. So you can go ahead or just send the email, send an email with the other one, or or just send an email. It's easier. Send it to nept@dranamarie.com. But I'm looking LDH. I mean, none of these look terribly out of range.
There's the creatine kinase.
Yeah, that's a big one. Wow.
Yeah, so that one is really high.
Cholesterol's high for her age.
Is it? It was higher. I mean, or it's calmed down a bit.
Vitamin D is super low, so you've really got to work on your vitamin D.
She got a shot. When she got a vitamin D 30,000 mu or IU.
No, but you got to maintain it. A shot's not going to hold her.
Yeah, so that's a month, and then I need to supplement her. And then the osteocalcin is a bit low for her age.
Oh, she's got some anemia going on. Look at the MCD.
I tested there's a gene, a mutation where thalassemia.
Mhm. Thalassemia? Yeah.
Yeah, thalassemia. Yeah. She didn't, but I did. So my lab work comes out the same way.
Okay. So thalassemia would be like that. You'd have a low hemoglobin. Mm-hmm. What's her hemoglobin?
Yeah.
Hemoglobin is 11. That's not bad for if it's thalassemia. You know, oftentimes you see them in 8 to 10, but it is low. It's certainly low.
So if she does, and most likely, because I do, if she does have the gene, then is that the way it's always going to be for her and for me?
There's things you can do to support it. Vitamin E, iron doesn't do a thing for it. But vitamin E is often helpful. Antioxidant support, anything that's going to support mitochondrial function, you know, really optimizing that, because she's going to have a hard time making hemoglobin. She needs more B6 to make hemoglobin. I don't know what her iron level is, because they didn't test that.
They test that. The ferritin?
Where's the ferritin?
Ferritin is down, let me see.
Okay, here we go. There's iron in TIBC. So the total iron binding capacity is low. Her iron serum is 97, so her iron serum looks fine. Iron saturation. Why is
so
it microcytic?
So ferritin is at the bottom of this test.
Yeah, so her iron numbers look fine.
Mm-hmm.
So thalassemia is definitely a possibility. Mm-hmm. Because she's got good iron levels, but her red blood cells are tiny. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of them to make up the volume. Mm-hmm.
And then
her
T3
is horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that explains why she's so tired.
So she's tired. Well, between the microcytic anemia and the low thyroid function, her insulin... That's a fasting insulin. To me, that's a little high.
That's high, yeah. That's
high. So there's probably, you know, that might explain some of the weight stuff, too, is that there's some insulin resistance. How are her periods? Does she have acne?
She does have acne.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just wondering if there's a little PCOS tendency there. Her testosterone, no, her testosterone, hard to tell. They don't give a range. I don't know what the range would be. Prolactin is okay. Free T4 is, yeah, so she's got serious underconversion. Do you see that? Where her free T4 is really good. It's 1.24. But her free T3 is real low, so she's got a serious under conversion.
Do I need to ask for total T4? Because I didn't, and
probably not. I mean, given her total, her free T4 is fine. We're going to assume that the other is. If her free T4 was low, then I would want to see. Mm-hmm. But free, total T4, because I'd want to see if there's a binding globulin issue. But given that her free T4 is fine, then I don't think it's necessary. I think there's a serious conversion issue going on here. So cortisol levels, so looking at her adrenals, that could explain the weight not shifting too. I would look at an inflammatory process going on somewhere. You might have a high reverse T3. I don't often do reverse T3 just because I usually can guess it based on the rest of this. But she's likely got a very high reverse T3 because, where else is the T4 going, right? It's not converting to free T3. It's converting probably to reverse T3. The reverse T3 will then block the receptors, will slow it down. That's another reason she's really tired. And you got to get that reverse T3 down. Sometimes Wilson's approach, Dennis Wilson's approach, he's going to be talking, I think in January or February, we have a advanced clinical resource with him. And he talks a lot about with the low free T3 and a lot of the overconversion to is sometimes doing, she's not on any medication, right? She's not on thyroid medication?
No, she's not, yeah. She's like, okay, it's normal, everything's fine, but I just suspect that there's something going on.
Yeah, and she is a little overweight. You said, right, 156 is
high. Yeah, she does a lot. I mean, she dances, she has all kinds of school activity.
Yeah. Is she a high-stress kind of kid?
I think she does get paranoid and gets stressed out. Yeah, she does. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So her blood sugar overall is probably fine. She's a 5.1 on hemoglobin A1C, which would be, so if we look at the number, I like to use my little tool, my hemoglobin A1C to, where is it? So it's 5.1. So we're going to put in 5.1. It's most likely going to be right around, a little less than 100. Calculate. Yeah, 99. Yeah, so she's, her blood sugar is maintaining pretty well, but her insulin is a little high.
Yes.
So she's not insulin resistant yet, but she's heading towards hyperinsulinemia, which is going to, long term, that will lead to insulin resistance. Plus there's, the damaging effects of high insulin, on blood vessels and all that. So you want to look at the glycemic index of what she's eating.
Okay.
Right. So she doesn't require so much.
I just have to get her to do it with.
Yeah.
She was doing pretty good, and then she started driving senior year. It's like,
I have a kid like that, and I find McDonald's wrappers in the car. It's terrible.
She's not doing that, but she's doing a lot of latte, tea. Yeah,
for sure. That's, that's an issue. So I think, where are we again? Oops. Oh, it was probably, now I lost the window where it was in. Is it this one? That was the calculator. I think I just did it in the same window and I lost it that way.
Oh.
There we go. Yeah, so, thalassemia certainly is a possibility. Creatine kinase.
That's the inflammation. That's what I was told from we saw the nurse practitioner. She told me that it's a marker for inflammation somewhere.
Just look it up. Where's a good place to look it up is we go to the blood chem. Did you put it through the blood chemistry software?
I didn't see.
That wasn't in there?
Yeah, that wasn't in there, yeah.
Oh, bummer. Okay.
Yeah, I know. I read it on, I was doing some research. It's higher in teenagers for age group, but still, it's higher than
ours.
Ours
is very high. Yeah.
Yeah, this is very high. Yeah. So it's higher than the even.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, that would be another reason she's tired, because it's using her ATP to create this phosphocreatine.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So that would zap her energy as well. Signs and symptoms, muscle weakness, muscle aches, dark urine.
She does have muscle aches, but sometimes we think that she dances a lot. That's, you know.
Right. That could be, but it might, you know, mm-hmm. that may be a cover up. Oh, that's right. CK is what we do in myocardial. She's not having a myocardial infarction, but okay. So females, 53 to 269, yeah, and what was hers?
500 something.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Allison. What Allison might be thinking, or Phyllis, of the creatine kinase being high. I mean, I've seen that high. You know, oftentimes if the test is done right after she's done exercise. My husband did this test once right after he exercised. He'd gone running for like 5 miles. Then he had his blood test. He was still fasting, but he had it done, and his CK was high because it's breakdown product of muscle.
No, she was fasting first thing in the morning. So.
And she hadn't exercised first, right?
No, she hasn't.
Yeah, I would be monitoring this, but why is it high? I'd be looking at why is it high? Why is it high? I mean, there are subfractions of it that you can do. I think CK has isoenzymes. Okay. Food contaminants with isoenzymes. And then with the isoenzymes, it will tell you where it's coming from. Let's see if there's an interpretation. Here we go. So you look at MM, if it's muscular damage to the heart, brain, or skeleton. MB is usually after a heart attack. BB, brain. So you can kind of tell if they do. You might want to ask the doctor that ran it if they think it's worth doing isoenzymes, or the nurse practitioner.
Okay. Yeah, she's seeing a doctor. She saw the nurse practitioner. She's going to see the doctor in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Phyllis agrees that getting the CK fractionated is important. I agree.
Okay.
Right, to see where it's coming from. Yeah. So here, see this, what might alter the test results? This is what happened with my husband going for a big run. You know, intense physical exercise within a day or two can lead to higher. So does she do really intense physical exercise? I mean, dance is pretty intense, but...
Dance is pretty intense. She's been dancing for years. That's the only thing she does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have them do the isoenzymes. I think that will be important. Low thyroid function can do it. So she's got a number of things going on here, and I think it's a matter of getting to the root cause and, you know, looking at what she's eating, looking at certainly inflammation, gut inflammation, leaky gut, you know, gluten intolerance, food allergies, adrenal stuff is definitely a big issue. I think here, just based on the conversion issues and having such a disparity between free T4 and free T3, I think is huge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then from her organic acid testing.
Yeah, let's see.
Yeah.
That might be, give us more of a clue.
Yeah. Is
so
that
she's got stuff going on here, right? She's got some yeast and fungal markers. So you may want to look at putting her on a good gut, you know, candida protocol. She's got some bacterial markers. So looking at that, does she get gas and bloating after she eats?
No, she's actually only during her period. There's no digestive symptoms with her at all.
Okay. But she does have some issues going on. So these
she
are
does,
worth looking
does,
at.
Yeah, she does get athletic feet. So that she, I know. That
she does what?
Athletic feet. And,
say it one more time.
Athletic feet. So she has growth, fungal growth on her.
Oh, got it. Yes. Yeah, so that usually indicates that there's something there.
Yeah.
I would be looking at some of the antifungal type things. You can look at undecylenic acid tends to be good for that stuff. You could look at any of the candida stuff in the gut module, any of that stuff, and just kind of play around and see what works. You might want to look at something like tricycline, which has both bacterial and fungal antimicrobials in it. So you could hit, you know, with less supplements, but, you know, be more broad, and that tends to work pretty well. It's got berberine, and it's got artemisia, and it's also got some of the, I think it's got some castor, I can't remember what it all has in there, but it's got stuff for all the different types of.
Okay, what's that called again? Sorry.
Tricycline, and it's allergy research.
Okay.
Yeah.
So her, it indicates, also indicates her, let's see, serotonin and dopamine are low.
Yeah, let's see page two. I mean, or part two. Oxalates are fine. Yeah, she's got some stuff going on with her Krebs cycle, which would indicate. Oh, yeah. Yeah, her HVA, related to dopamine and serotonin both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, is she moody?
Yes.
Yeah.
She's very, well, she's stressed, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, she's got a lot of stress.
Not perfect, not extreme, but she is, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it's your own kids, so you're treading lightly here because you don't want to.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you can show her that there's things out of balance. You could see how much she's willing to do. The basics and the foundations are critical, the food. She eats a lot of sugar and starches. She's going to feed the yeast, which is going to make it worse, and she's going to get the toxic byproducts of it. You know, she's got some markers of low energy between the CK and the seborrheic mitochondrial kind of stuff. You know, a good B vitamin would be really helpful.
Okay. Right? So those B complex,
I mean, B6 is, let me look at her B6 status on here. Is that in the other one? B6 is super important for neurotransmitters. And I thought it was in here. Let's see.
It's in there. It's a bit low.
It's a bit on the low side. And I, you know, if they're supplementing, you'll see it way high, which is fine. So I would look at the B6 and the B5. For adrenals.
Any good one that you
brand? No, there's. I like pure encapsulations and Thorn. They tend to be really pure.
Okay.
So those are good ones. I think that there's somebody that has a B5, B6 complex, but I don't remember who. I think it might be Metagenics, and I don't really care for their stuff too much.
Okay, yeah.
And her B2, so I'd get her on a good B complex to start because her B2 is also low. It's an opposite, you know, a high marker indicates a deficiency because it's a functional test. And her vitamin C, and that would really support the whole adrenal thing. So I would go, you know, look at some of the adrenal dosages. If you start her with a B complex, and you got to feel her out to see how willing she is to do more, right? You may want to start her on the B complex, get her on a good C. Mm-hmm. If she's willing to up the B5 and B6, then that's great.
Okay. So what about innate
would be
response?
A good B. Say it again.
Innate response. Have you used innate response as B vitamins?
Yeah, I haven't used them. I think they're food form.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, some of them have mag stearate in them, and I just don't like using things with excipients in it. But you can certainly look at that.
Okay. Oh, and her nurse practitioner prescribe Armour thyroid?
Yeah, but you know, here's the problem. If she's going to go with thyroid for her, I'd be going with T3. I wouldn't go as T4. Because okay. if you give her armor, it's going to skew it more. Where's her thing? Let me see if I can find it. Like, look at how high her T4 is compared to her T3. And armored thyroid, even though it has T3 in it, it's much more predominating in T4. So if they want to do anything to help her thyroid, I would certainly look at T3, but time-release T3.
Okay.
And then keep rechecking it to make sure. But then addressing the adrenals, addressing the inflammation, good anti-inflammatory diet. You know, if you can get her to do some turmeric, it's a good anti-inflammatory.
Okay.
Vitamin C, high levels of C. But I don't. I would not recommend armor in this particular case. I'd go with more T3 at this point.
Okay.
And selenium. You want to get her on some selenium to help. But you know, the about 25% of all the T4 to T3 conversion happens in the gut. And so if she's got gut stuff going on, right? Then she's going to be sluggish in that conversion. Another part of it goes in the liver. So there may be some stuff where you can support her liver with foods. I mean, just the foods that you make her if she'll eat at home at that age.
Yeah.
Burdock root and dandelion and hawthorn berry and milk thistle ground up and put into things. You know, wherever you can support her liver and her gut is going to be helpful.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And then, yeah, if they're willing to prescribe, ask them if they're willing to prescribe some T3. A lot of them don't want to, and I would go with the compounded T3 so you can control the dose, and you can start with really small dose, and it would be a time release, so she'd take it every 12 hours. Look into the Wilson's therapy, and again, we're going to have him talk. He's coming in January to talk to us, and we can pick his brain on it, too.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you. And one more quick question.
Sure.
So for me, I did an ultrasound on thyroid, and I have a 1.2 nodule, thyroid nodule, and the doctor wants to do a biopsy. What do you think? Should I?
Is it hot? Did he do?
He did an ultrasound.
Yeah,
and it was 0.6 centimeter 4 years ago.
It's growing.
And now it's growing. So
yeah, I'm trying to think, you know, you have to feel into that. Like, how do you feel about getting the biopsy? How do you feel about not getting it and just risking it growing? How, you know, where do you sit with it? You know, where's your fear factor? What's going to elicit more fear factor? Because the more fear factor you have, the more likely you're hurting yourself. So, you know, and it's always hard to predict what would I do in that situation. Knowing me, I'd go on a 2 week fast
Downside of
biopsy, if there's any if there is any cancer there, that biopsy can cause a spread because it's coming through, you know, and you're exposed to the bloodstream. What else? Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
I'm okay with not doing it and just do another ultrasound in a year or so.
And just watch it. And then I would look at, do you have Hush antibodies? Do you have elevated antibodies?
I haven't checked that. No, I haven't checked that.
Then I would get your antibodies checked. I would get your full thyroid panel. I would pull out all the notes you have, and we have a book called Thyroid Balancing Step by Step. And just kind of go through and see, okay, here's the things I'm doing. Here's the things I'm not doing, right? Looking at your gut, looking at the leaky gut, looking at any dysbiosis, looking at any heavy metal problems.
Okay.
Right? And are you gluten-free 100%? Are you off of dairy and the other kind of?
95%.
Okay. So here, if I were you, that's the first thing I would do. That's the first thing I would do.
Okay.
I wouldn't bother with a biopsy at that point because you've already got high risk things. So I would get your full thyroid panel, pull out the thyroid module, and just start plugging through it.
Okay.
That's
a good plan. Okay, well, thank you so much. Yeah,
you're very welcome.
Very helpful. Thank you.
Glad. All right. So who else? Let's see who else is on the phone. That was Isabella. Isabel, I always want to call you Isabella. I don't know why. And then we have Phyllis. Hello, Phyllis.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Well, that's great to hear.
Yeah, how are you doing, and what can I do to help you today?
Well, personally, I have other issues, but that's not why I'm calling to talk. I just actually met a new patient today who fits all of your different courses.
Fits all of them. Oh, great.
Yes. She's definitely going to be a long-term marathon, shall we say, rather than a sprint.
Right. Okay.
Well, yes.
So the ones that help pay rent.
Right. She comes in initially saying she wants an evaluation for depression and anxiety, but this is a woman who weighs about 325 pounds or so.
Oh, my goodness.
She was this year diagnosed with type 2 diabetes and has an A1C of 6.7.
Mm-hmm.
Admits that she is not following any diet at this point, is not checking her blood sugars. She did for a short while when diagnosed, but isn't now. Under a lot of stress and has had a history of abuse. Just recently diagnosed with microscopic colitis. Also hypothyroid.
My goodness. You know, I'm getting a hit. The first thing you really want to do with her is kind of look through the ready and willing questionnaire and just make sure you ask her those questions. Because when I hear that she's been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, but isn't following any kind of diet, then I want to know why. Is it because she's confused and she doesn't know what to do? Or she's in denial and doesn't want to do it? Or she has some really serious eating disorders? And isn't willing to give up, and what is she looking for? So I would have the conversation with her like, you know, there's a lot going on here, and I can help you peel away the onions, but where are we at right now? How willing are you to make some significant dietary changes? How quickly are you willing to make them, or how slowly? And that's going to determine the rate of success that we have, because there's a lot going on here. And we can make some really dramatic changes to your diet and get some significant changes right away. But are you going to be willing to do that? We're going to have to go slow. If we're going to have to go slow, that's great. That's totally where you're at. But just know that it's going to take time. And it's really important to get that up front with people.
I've actually done some of that talk already today.
Good, good.
Well, we have to actually go over all the whys and the how ready and willing, but she admits that she gets overwhelmed and she doesn't know where to begin, and she kind of loses track. And in the past, all they've done is hand her, sheets and said, do it.
Hand-holding. She needs hand-holding. That's perfect. That's ideal then.
Right.
Because that's where you can help her. You can say, look, we're going to go slow. I'm going to give you stuff. I'm going to give you resources. We're going to make the changes in a way that you can make them and not overwhelm you. And we're going to help you to understand why you're making certain changes, because that often helps people dramatically.
Right. My thoughts were to first get some labs and get her to do a diet diary for me.
Yep.
And then start working on the gut, because that certainly is a major issue, and then the blood sugar.
Yep, that's where I would start, and then ease the foundations in and
right.
And see where she's at with the diet and where the big rocks are, right? So that you
sugar.
Go, oh, and sugar, okay. So really, help her learn about all these great low glycemic sweeteners and how she can, still satisfy that sweet taste craving while she's getting off of the sugars. And that's where I would start.
She suspects, and I suspect she's right, that there could be yeast going on.
I was going to say, for sure, that's that the sugar is going to feed her gut problems, and she's got the microscopic colitis, and that's a sign that there's some serious stuff going on in the gut.
And she's also one that her mother was one of the first people diagnosed with Lyme.
Whoa.
Her family's from Lyme, Connecticut originally.
Oh, geez.
So she could have Lyme in there, which is something else we'll need to look at.
Yeah. But don't get too complicated down with the Lyme, right? Because that's a zebra right now. Even though it's a possibility, you can get significant changes with the diet lifestyle. She came in and she's on this pristine diet and doing everything you think she should do, and she's still having symptoms. That's when you go down the Lyme trail right away.
No, I agree. And that's not where I was going. I was just trying to look at what are the issues, because there's also potential toxin issues because she lives in a house with mold.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So this one could meet all your different programs.
Every single one of them, you know,
and
supporting her.
Brain fog and fatigue, you know, every single one.
Wow. Well, this is good. I mean, because you have the potential to really help her significantly.
Yeah.
Right? I always celebrate when I have somebody come in and they are willing, but they're confused. And they're on a really crappy diet and they have a lot of environmental exposures, because I know that we can do some really basic cleanup right from the start and get their confidence up, because they'll start to see shifts.
Yeah, because she also needs the whole stress management stuff. She's also single and doesn't have a support system.
And it's a mess. It's good you can be her support system without being codependent with her.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yep.
So,
awesome.
So this one, you know, I might be bringing in every now and then when I see where things are.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the first thing, I think you're right on track with get the diet diary, you know, really do that toxin inventory to see where all those places are, see where you can clean things up. You know, air filters might be really good with the mold stuff and, you know, some other kinds of things to help clean that up in the environment. Depends on how bad the mold is and all that, but simple things like that, dehumidifiers, et cetera.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's interesting. I also, in another case, I just got a vitamin D level back on a 24-year-old. It was 7.
Ooh, yeah, I've seen them that low. I would go
That's
real
one
high.
That's the lowest one.
Whoa. I've had them that low. You know, I had two people right around the same time that had them that low, like 7 and 8. And one of them I put on 20,000. I said, you know, I'm going to just put you on 20,000, stay on it for 3 months. And the other one, both of them, and the one said at 6 weeks she decided to retest and she was up to 100. And I'm like, what? How did that happen? The other one came back a year and a half later. He was still on 20,000. And I was like, oh. And he was up to 60 in a year and a half. So they're all right? It has to do with their genetics probably, right? The VBRs and the FETs and all that kind of stuff.
Because this person also had just a serum B12 of like 350.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty
low. So I'm thinking that there's probably a ton of different nutritional deficits going on.
Yeah. I mean, you can't necessarily trust the B12, although that low would indicate I'd be looking at the functional markers, MCV, homocysteine. You know how to do that.
Homocysteine was at 12.
Yeah. That's not good. Yeah.
So that's telling me that it probably is.
Yeah.
Very low.
Well, good. Well, good luck with that. I'm glad to hear you've got something to sink your teeth into, and you've got somebody, you know, that gaining their trust early on is super important.
The one today seemed like she was very happy and relieved with the various things I was telling her, and that I wasn't going to tell her basically you have to change everything this very moment.
Right.
But we can do it slowly.
Exactly. That's great. Yeah, and that gains the trust, and that's when they'll keep listening. So thank you. So I've got one more hand up, so I'm going to go ahead and answer the one more hand, which is Maria. And then we have another call after this, which is our my VLM, you know, Vibrant Living member. So if anybody still has questions and it didn't get addressed here, as long as they're more generic questions that aren't going to blow people out of the water in the other call, there's usually not very many people on that call. So you're welcome to stay. So thank you for sharing, and good luck with that.
Thank you.
Yeah. So Maria, hello.
Hello. Hello again. How are you?
Hello. Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
Again.
Okay. So I'm Laura had a perfect start, because I have a similar situation. and I'm quite scared, you know, a little bit. I don't know much about it. I got a 23, you know, and knee done, and I recommended this potential client, which is going to become a client next week, to evaluate. She went to the genetic genie, and she sent me the results, so she wants to set up an appointment because she doesn't know anybody who can interpret. And I told her, and I said, look, this is not my area of expertise, but I have a support system that might be able to get us going. So I have her results in front of me, and I'm, you know, not going to occupy too much of the time here, but if you could tell me, how should I start studying this and be prepared for this first meeting with her?
Yeah, I would start the way we did it with Laura, is to download those documents. And if you don't have, we can give you the direct PDF links. Lynn, can you just
okay,
give me?
Okay, yeah, I don't have them.
Yeah, so just give that. And Laura, Lynn, if we can also just ask Stacey or Scott to give Maria the access to that module, the nutrigenomics module, so she has access to it. And you can give it to all the people in the new NEPT people. So that's where I would start with those two documents. And I would start with the genetic genie. Did you do the genetic genie with her?
Yeah, I got her reds and yellows and all that kind of stuff here. And
okay, great.
Yeah, so
and
I
then
do have
use
her
those
markers.
Charts. So you have that chart,
yeah.
You print them out, and you sit there with the chart, you circle, and you just kind of study, and you see where things come together, just exactly the way I did it with Laura. The other thing,
okay.
I'm looking to see if I still have it open, because Jamie gave me a link, and I used it, and I really liked the report, and I have all these things open. So it wouldn't be that one. These are all the ones we opened earlier. Let's see, all these things open. Why should I care about my sugar levels? Is this the one, Get to Know Your DNA? Let me just see if this is the one. Jamie gave it to me last week, and I used it, and then I seem to have lost it. I don't think this is the one. I think I found that one. Let's see. That's a different one. Nope. Yeah, I'll have to look it up or ask Jamie. Go into the Facebook group and then
okay.
just ask Jamie. I'm sure I saved it somewhere, but I don't remember where. Just to address it to Jamie and say, could you please tell us what that genetics, because he's done a lot of work with them and he's tested out a lot of the companies. Just ask him which one he really likes, the one he gave me last week on the call. Because I ran my own through. Oh, maybe if I saved my own. I'm not sure if I saved it. Let me just pause.
So basically it was a genetics interpretation?
Yeah, it was a genetics interpretation.
Okay.
Let me just pause this. I'm going to look it up and see if I have my own, because I don't want to show this one on the screen because it's got all my private files, but or actually patient files. La, 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 la. Where is it? Dropbox. Here we go. Where's mine? Rita Marie. I'm pretty sure I saved it last week. Genetic report. Is this it? 1125. This might be it. Let me see. And it'll have the name of these people on it. Ah, let me go to the front. Yeah. Metabolic healing. These guys don't have a... Let me look to see. I'm going to share the screen with you. You guys can see what mine looks like. My genes are not very good. Okay, so this is... I'm just going to share the window. Okay, there we go. So I'm looking to see if they even have maybe this works, metabolic healing. Maybe that opens up in a, let's see if it'll open up. And this is the report. And I liked it because it's especially good if you don't have a lot of experience with it, because I don't know why it's honked up like that. Maybe it's trying to open something. Ah, there we go. Security warning allow. That's probably their website that I'm clicking on to now. So it looks like metabolichealing.com. Let me see. I'll put this in the chat. Yeah. So this looks like it, and you can actually run reports. Well, maybe not. Yeah, I'll have to look. I'll have to look again and have him.
I can post something over there.
Yeah, this looks like the one that I got, but I don't see where I put that. Ah, here it is.
That's okay. That's okay.
Yeah, but I'll just show you real quick what it looks like so you can see. Can you see my window again?
Yeah.
So it has this. It has the different categories, and then it went through.
Uh-huh.
So my gut, and it went through all the stuff related to my gut, and then it talked about different things related there, and then it talked about my brain health, right? And then it had all the different SNPs. So it really gives you more of an interpretation. And there's heart health, right? And talks about all those genes. So it looks like a nice report for, especially if you're just starting out doing them, and or it's a nice organization.
And this is paid, right?
This was paid. It was like $37. Now
the one that you're talking about, $37. Okay.
Yes, this is $37, and it's 39 pages, so it's less than a dollar a page.
Yeah, I don't think this person would have a problem paying $37. She's just, her problem is weight loss. She's got tremendous issues, but she eats very well. Actually, her glucose is pretty good. Her A1C is 5.3, is not too bad. I know her through a friend. I had a conversation with her through the phone. But, she's been diving. She's like, I can't lose weight. She exercises. She does it all. And I asked her to do some tests, but she hasn't, I'm not sure she's done some and not others. And I suggested her to do this. So she did it right away, and now she just cannot find anybody, obviously. And she's like, I got a team. She's got people here, people there. She's like, everybody. The doctor is saying, don't worry too much about your weight. your numbers are looking great. Don't worry about your weight.
Don't worry about
weight.
I do. Yeah.
I know. I mean, like, oh my God.
So remember the whole thing about the gut bugs, the bacterioides versus the Firmicutes. So you want to look at her gut.
Yeah.
You want to see what's going on with her gut. You said her blood sugar is okay. Make sure her hemoglobin A1C is okay because she might have curves, and you know how to test for that.
She's okay. She's 5'3". I thought she would be worse, but 5'3" is not terrible compared to my.
Yeah, but it's still a little high. So might have her do some of the testing to see if she has some peaks. You want to look at her adrenals, certainly. I did a talk yesterday for the Bright Line Eating Program. A friend of mine runs that, and she said, that works really well for people, but a lot of people, a number of people don't get the results because there's other stuff going on. So I talked about all the different hormonal things that could be going on. I'm going to get the video of that, and I'll post it on INE because it'd be a great presentation, and I've got slides that I put together. It's kind of like it pulls together a lot of different things that we talk about, but in a perspective of how does it affect, like, when people do have trouble losing weight. So it might be more of a step-by-step. Okay?
Right. Okay.
All right.
This might sound stupid, but how would I charge this woman? I mean, is this by appointment only? It's just like, because I know that, she's working on other stuff, but obviously I have an hourly session. I'm doing the first session with her a little different. I'm going through her several assessments and all that. But going forward, would you recommend
get her on a program?
Going by the hour?
No, I would get her on a program because, every time you spend with her, this is going to take you a lot of time in the back end.
I know.
In the background. Yeah, so you don't want to do that. So you can tell her you'll meet with her the one time if you haven't met with her yet. And that will be some whatever the fee is, you know, whatever your hourly thing is.
Yeah.
But if you're going to do the genetics, you tell her, well, it takes me a couple hours to run this stuff in the background, you know, and interpret it and then to explain it to you. So you have a flat fee that it, you know, if you want to do a genetics interpretation, it may be the first time it's underpaid, but you say, okay, I do an interpretation for 300 or 500 or whatever it is, and I'll do a genetics interpretation. But what I really do need to do this efficiently would be to really do a full health history so I can apply and I can see how your health history applies. So you can charge, like maybe you'd charge her a certain flat fee that would include the genetics things, the full history, and maybe one follow-up appointment.
Okay.
But I would do a package because otherwise you're going to be like, you're going to be doing all this work and making very little money.
I know. That's what kind of worries me. I like this flat fee idea because I told her that we're not going to be doing that interpretation next week, but I know she's going to talk about it because there's all these other things that I want to evaluate, you know, before, and it's like an hour and a half appointment. So, okay, I like that. Thank you very much, and I will see. I'll follow up with Lynn in case I don't get that access for that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We should be able to open that up to you pretty quickly. All right?
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody. And then, you know, if anybody wants to hang on, you know, if you just still had questions, just hang on and listen. Listen in for the next call. A lot of times there's not a whole bunch of people, but we'll see. So thanks, everybody. Bye-bye. I'm going to stop the recording.